the trumpet. You can hear the noses blowing in the background, and my voice is right on track this morning. So, all right, glad to have you here, Crane Christian Church. We are having Sunday school. 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'm going to tell you that I almost skipped this story because I know we've talked about it in the last, probably 10, 12 months, maybe in the last year. But I got to looking at this again and last night, and I really wanted desperately to be obedient. And so we're going to be obedient this morning. So I got two Bibles, two sets of notes. We're in great shape. We'll be done by 4th of July. In the New King James, it says this, 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. When you start looking at the Bible, literally looking at it word by word, we know it's a supernatural, amazing, spirit-filled, living, breathing document. But I want you to, the first semi-point this morning is this. You know Syria was not a Christian nation. Syria was not Israel. Syria was not, but it, read what it says right here. It says that he was an honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. The first thing I want to tell you this morning is there's a lot of people in this world. It was another election year. There's all this going on. I'm not going to get into that, but what I am going to get into this. They think they got it all under control. This person thinks they got it under control. This person thinks if we would just do this, if we would just do that. Listen carefully what I'm going to say. God's in charge. Amen. He's in charge. This was a wonderful reminder to me, looking at this again, is that, because I'm going to tell you something. Is there any fretters in the building? Did fret a little bit. What should I, you know, is it time to put my money in a sack and put it under the mattress, or is it time to, I have an acquaintance who was kin to me, but he's not alive right now, who checked their money in and out of the bank several times, okay? Something would happen because they went through the depression and may or may not have had to eat some critters that you would normally put on the table, okay? The story that I heard about the Brumleys is that they would have like three shells and give each of the boys a shell and say, go kill something, we'll go eat it. And whatever they got with that was what was, you know, hopefully it was a squirrel, okay? Because we like them little squirrels with them little teeth, you know, pull that little head apart. Anyway. So anyway, all my kids, by the way, have eaten squirrel brains. Except Karen, maybe? Was she there? Yeah. Yeah, that's good for you, by the way. Little squirrel brains. That's why I'm so smart. Yeah. Squirrel! Okay. So, anyway, is God in charge? First point, is God in charge? Okay. Second point, the Syrians had gone, okay, he had a lot of good things going on. He was a man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, you know that word leper in those days, it was a dazzling array of skin diseases. It's not necessarily saying that he had the kind of leprosy that calls, and I don't want to be, I'm not trying to be funny. This is not funny. I'm not trying to be gross. That cause, you know, fingers to fall off and things to rot off. But it's a word that means, you know, it's a bad skin disease. So, second point, I love this point, guys. This may be the reason I'm talking about this morning, because it just touches my heart. The Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. The second point is, I don't care if you're the janitor at the school, if you're the teacher at the school, if you're the bus driver at the school, if you're the superintendent of the school, you have a place of witness for Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that over and over, God has shown me where he puts people in positions, not necessarily even of authority. This girl was, I don't know if she was washing her hair or what. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know what her picking up after her. And she was a slave. She could have said, that's what you get for that, couldn't she? But instead of that, she had a soft heart and she said, you know what? I know an answer for this problem. See, it becomes about us versus about, and you know, again, I was studying, we had men's breakfast yesterday, and I will try very hard to stay out of that. But I want to tell you, as I was looking at that again, you know, the bottom line is we are so self-centered that we think that, well, you know, this is about me. Well, I want to tell you, this little girl was not being self-centered. She was thinking about others. And all of these things we talked about men's breakfast, about asking, seeking, knocking, and God answering our prayers, it's not for us, it's for the kingdom. Yeah, it's just like, you know, if we take the church bus somewhere, I get to ride, right? You see what I'm, if it would crank. But anyway, you see what I'm.
And according to this verse, God put her, he let the Syrians take her captive. He led them to the reign they brought.
Well, we know that God's in charge. So then he said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who's in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. So God, number one, here's the deal. God's in charge of everything. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, he's called us to be a witness wherever we're at. If we are at the convenience store, stopping by, don't be buying them scratchers down there. One time I walked in there and one of the deacons was scratching one of those and he saw me and he goes, I said, hey man, just tithe on whatever you win. So anyway, he's gone to heaven now. He's scratching in heaven, so. Anyway, so Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is in the land of Israel, who is from the land of Israel. So the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold. Okay, I did not do the math on this, okay? But we're talking about he brought a bunch of stuff, of a lot of value, okay? So, let's see if it may do say something about what that value is over here. How much?
150 pounds of gold, or 750.
Okay. 150 pounds of gold. Today it's close to, it's nine probably. So nine times 150, so it's $1 million worth of gold today. So I don't know what it would be. That's quick math, by the way. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. Because adding are hard, okay. So then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, be advised. Oh, 10 changes of clothing. Okay, so they stop by the feed store and they've got 10 pair of Wranglers, 10 pair, yeah. No, that's probably not, okay. Okay, so he brought the letter to the king of Israel and said, now be advised when this letter comes, you have sent Naaman, my servant, and that you may heal him of his leprosy. Okay, so we think the answer is in something we can do. Third point. We think we can buy our way out of it. We're gonna be fine if we save enough money. We're gonna be fine if we get high enough handlebars and loud enough pipes. We're gonna be whatever it is. Okay, if we got the perfect pistol, if we got the perfect this, we got the perfect that, I got, you know, I got 40 cows, I got this, I got that. No, I don't. Every cow I have is behind plastic, by the way. I keep them in plastic in the freezer. Okay, because they eat less. But anyway, and taste better quicker. Okay, so watch this. We think we can do that with our finances. We think we can do that because we're smarter than everybody else. We think we can do that because we make the right decision. And it happened when the king of Israel read this letter. This is my favorite part of the story. I'm serious. I don't know why. Every time I read this, I get to exactly the same place, guys. It's why it's funny to me. I'm sorry, because I'm a little twisted probably. He read the letter, he tore his clothes. Am I God to kill and make alive? This man sends a man to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider how he seeks a quarrel with me and everything. Sometimes when people send stuff, when people want to ask a question, you think, oh, they're just trying to pick a fight. Everything happens to me. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. Well, here, I'll tell you something. Side point. If he had been talking to the prophet in the land regularly, he wouldn't have that reaction. The prophet's already made some water so that you can drink it. He's already hit we're way past a bunch of stories he's did. He's raised a kid from the dead. Come on. Through God. I mean, he didn't do it. God did it. But you see the point. Sometimes we get so connected in this world, in our flesh, and what's going on with our flesh, something, oh no, what now? What are we going to do now? Well, that's what he did. And then he began to sing the Linda Ronstadt song. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I don't know why. Everything reminds me of a 70s and 80s song, or either that or old country. So I don't know. Too much time listening to the radio when I was a kid, probably. Underneath the covers where my parents didn't know I was listening to the radio. So, he's done tore his clothes. So, Elisha, the man of God, hears that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. Why have you tore your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman went to his horses and chariot. He stood at the door of the house of Elisha. So he handed Naaman off. Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's just better to hand somebody off, isn't it? So he handed him off. And now, both stories today that we're talking about, this is the Old Covenant, this is the Old Testament. Later on, we're going to be talking about something that happened with Jesus, okay? New Testament, okay? So in both stories today, something interesting happened. And that's this. It doesn't look like you think it's going to look. Can anybody, is there an amen anywhere that says out there, it never looks like you thought it was going to look? And I've told 50 different stories in my life where I thought I had, I say 50, 5, 6, 10, 20, whatever, in my life where that's the way God's going to do that. That's the way that's going to look. Oh, I know that's the way that's going to look. Yeah, that's going to work out like that. Oh, I can see that. I can see that. And I'm going to tell you something. When it says that we see darkly, he means darkly, okay? He means a dull outline with some of us. But here's the deal. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when they made those lights, I have a Streamlight SL20 that I bought 40 years ago that has 20,000 candle powers. I paid $89.95 for it when I first started law enforcement. And I'll never forget that. That was more money than I thought. How can a flashlight be worth that? I could do that. I could see, you know, a block away with that flashlight. I was so excited about that flashlight. I blind my friends and neighbors. But the point being, it also doubled as a pipe if you want to hit somebody with it. But anyway, but the point being is this. Back when this scripture was written, it was a flame. And you had enough light to keep from stepping off a cliff or stepping on a snake. Or you see what I mean? If you held it up a little bit, if it was a bigger lamp, okay, you might could light up a room. But there was no shooting it into next week or next block or next whatever. It was, and his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. That means something. You need to keep his word with you. You need to keep it on you. You need to keep it in you. And as you do that, as you live by that word, you'll know that next step to take. You see what I'm saying? So I love the fact that this didn't work out like he thought it was. So I love, what's this? He went with his horses and chariot and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. That's a big deal. If CNN was back then, they'd say, oh, now he's arrived. You know, they've been watching, right? So, and Elisha sent a messenger to him. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you. And you shall be clean. Is that what he wanted? See, here's the deal. This picture in this story has so many layers. It has so many layers, guys. We always think redemption. Well, you know, if I do this, then maybe God will do this. And if God does this, God does this. In a little while, we're going to take a little cup and we're going to tear off the top of it. And we're going to take out something that represents the body of Christ. And we're going to celebrate the fact that it's not what I did. It's what he did. Amen. Now listen to what I'm saying. When Elisha spoke these words, when he said those words, Naaman was healed. And you say, well, wait a minute. What? Yeah. He spoke it into existence. But it was contingent upon his obedience. Amen. To recognize an authority greater than his intellect. Amen. An authority greater than his. An authority more than he could buy. Amen. And man, I'm going to tell you. This wears me out because I'm all about figuring it out. Okay. It's got to be my way. And Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me, stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over me. Okay. If I thought it was going to be a healing line. I thought it'd have to be Pentecost. I thought it would have to be Baptist. I thought it'd have to be Methodist. I thought it'd have to be Presbyterian. I thought it'd have to have some, the guy would have to wear a robe. I thought the guy wouldn't be such a redneck. I thought whatever, you know, we've all got these preconceived ideas. And this guy didn't even show up. He sent the word. He sent it. You go tell him I said this. I'm going to tell you, Jesus himself in the garden says, not my will, but your will be done. Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, I don't understand this, but let it be unto me as you've said. It's a picture over and over of our inability to see the end of this thing. But guys, he's calling us to take the step now. And I love this next point. I love it. So he begins to use his intellect. Well, I looked this up in Greek and it means, no, I'm just kidding. Or not the Anabana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. Could I not wash them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He's mad. What do you mean that the blood of Jesus saves us? It's got to be what I do. It's got to be about me saying this much. It's got to be about this. It's got to be about this. It's just too, that makes no sense. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If everything's got to make sense to you, you're in trouble. I'm sorry. You're in the wrong dimension. It'll all make sense someday. It's going to be the ultimate, Dave and I have talked about this. This is the ultimate aha moment. You're going to go in and go, oh, 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 as you walk into heaven, you're like, oh, oh my, I'll just be quiet. I'll be quiet now. I thought I knew something. I don't know nothing. So watch this. And his servants came to him and spoke to him and said, my father, and they did it respectfully. Watch this. They didn't say, hey, stupid. Because people don't hear that very well. They said, listen, father, if the prophet told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he says you wash and be clean? Surround yourself. This has got a lot of points in it, okay? But surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth. I got people around me. God has always had people around me and say, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? But I'm sneaky. Sometimes I don't want to tell them. Don't do that. That's not a good idea. But guys, I want to tell you that those people didn't ask. He didn't go around and say, what do y'all think I need to do? They took it on themselves to say, what you're doing is leading to death. What you're doing is making, that's a mistake. You need to, if you want to be healed, you need to do what the man said. Y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you, although that there's thousands here this morning in person, okay, evangelistically speaking, that means there's 15 people, not 1,000. But here's the deal. Guys, all joking aside, God places people in families, and I'm talking about your spiritual family, for a reason. It's to keep you out of the ditch. It's to keep you going the right direction and not doing something stupid. He could have went home with his disease. You know that, right? He could have just turned around, went home with all of his outfits and all of his gold, $1 million worth of gold or whatever. Man, he must have been in good with the kings, all I know. But anyway. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child and was clean. What you think about that? I hope he learned something from this. I'm serious. And I don't mean this to be ugly at all. And I hope I learned something when stuff like this happens to me. But just think of it, guys. He almost missed the whole point. Okay? He thought he could buy it. Okay? He thought then he could. It don't look like I thought it was going to look. And it's not the clean water I thought it was going to be. It's not this, not that. You know, what did that guy say recently? He said, I ain't going to church because there's nothing in there but hypocrites. And another guy said, well, hey, it's okay. We got room for one more. It's okay. You can still come. You still come. And you go, why would you say it like that? I'm going to tell you something. Because there is no one is righteous. No, not one. The one that was righteous paid the price for those who are unrighteous.
Amen.
Okay. And by the way, I'm trying in case anybody cares. Okay. I try very hard to do the right thing. Okay. Other than the speed limit. I just want to be clear. Okay. She gets on to me she makes me ride in the back. But it's okay. It's a good place for me. And he returned to the man of God and all his days and came and stood before him. I know now that there's no God in all the earth except in Israel. Therefore, please take a gift. And he said, as the Lord lives, before I stand, I will receive nothing. And urged him to take it, but he refused. I'm going to tell you something. We're going to get into an interesting place right here. There are scriptures in the Bible that are very clear that a workman is worth his wage. That because when I first started preaching places and traveling and preaching, this is, oh man, I've been here 20, so this would have been 40, yeah, a long time ago. And somebody would slip me a check and I'd go to the next place I went and I'd give that to them because I didn't want it. And my mom and dad set me down and said, you got to understand that those people are getting blessed by blessing you. And if you won't receive that, okay. So there's a side of this because right now there's huge controversy over, it started years ago and there's no need me getting any names at all. It's none of my business, but big ministries, big money, big spending, big car jets, whatever. And I do make a joke that's not that funny about me getting an airplane and flying a blue eye back and forth to minister to them hillbillies, but I should probably quit saying that. But anyway, but the point being is this. Here's what happened. He said no, because there's a time when you say no, because that's not yours. Because and he says no. And what's interesting is the last point we're going to get to this morning. We'll be done, possibly. But what happened is, I don't want to leave this out. So, but if not, please let your servant be given two loaves of the earth, so your servant will no longer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. And when my master goes to the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, I will bow down at the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down at the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. He says, well, you know, my wife wears culottes sometimes on weekends, and it's not going to be bad, is it? But anyway, nobody gets that. It's too old. But then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. So I want to tell you what, very quickly, Gehazi, his name means valley of vision. There's a point where he literally, Gehazi is the servant of Elisha. Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And then when Elijah went away, Elisha was the prophet and Gehazi became his servant. Gehazi, as you look back through this, has done some good stuff. I'm serious. He is perceptive. He does what he's told. He's a good guy. But right here, Gehazi falls into the trap that all of us, everybody, is susceptible to. Because here's the deal. Elisha was offered $1 million worth of gold. I don't know that he knew that. I don't know. He said, let me give you a gift, whatever. Maybe part of that was traveling money for them. I don't know. But the point being is, Elisha, well, watch this, get this point, knew where his provision came from. You see what I'm saying? He knew that God was his provision. He knew that it wasn't that, it wasn't this, that God was going to be taken. I'll never forget 30 something years ago, I was talking to one of my mentors and I told him, I said, man, I don't know. Should I got a cough trouble now. Should I do this? Should I do that? He said, Bruce, let me tell you something. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'll never forget this. I thought about it again last night. He said, you're going to be fine. He said, wherever you go, because we were in the process of relocating up here, fleecing God about where to go up here, what to do, what she would, you know, pray and fast. And he literally said, you follow God and just think about your life up to now. He has taken you everywhere he wanted you to go. He has put you in contact with everybody you need to get into contact, and you've been blessed, and he's going to continue to do that. Just follow him. Does that make sense? Just follow him. And I'm like, that's way easier than what I was thinking. And don't get me wrong, it can be hard to, you know, make the right choice sometimes. But I mean, literally, that's simple. Just follow Jesus. And we've done that, and God's been so good to us and blessed us in so many ways. And guys, but Elisha knew that. But somehow, Gehazi, his hope, his confidence was not in God, because he saw a chance. So what happened is, Elisha, he goes back in the house, Naaman goes on down the road, and Gehazi goes down there and says, look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving his hands what he brought, but the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down the chair to meet him and said, all is well? He said, all is well. My master sent me indeed now two young men of the sons. Now he's lying. Have come from the mountains. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And he said, hey, please take it. He urged him, bound up two talents with two changes of garments, and handed them to the servants. They carried him ahead of him. And when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hands and stored them away in the house and let the men go, and they departed. And when he went in and stood before the master, Elijah said, where did you go, Gehazi? He said, your servant, I didn't go nowhere. There's two lies. That's why I try not to lie. Because you tell one lie, before long there's another lie. Before long you're lying about the first two lies. And he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back to his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants? Is it time to do this? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence as white as snow. And guys, I want to tell you, things in this world is not going to satisfy you. Greed. If you got one, you say, I need another one. You get another one. I'm just talking about anything. It doesn't matter. And then you get another one. And then you get another one. And after the new off of the fourth one gets off, then you say, why do I have four? I was just as good with one. And that's what greed does. It does not satisfy. It does not. Being greed is sin, and the wages of sin is what?
Yeah.
But he has a gift for you this morning. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So thank you so much for listening this morning. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Thank you for watching.